Well, it is Pentecost Sunday. I was thinking I probably don't need to preach much because Hans did an excellent job of conveying the meaning and the story of Pentecost. So hopefully I can just add to that some. So Pentecost is celebrated on the 50th day or the seventh Sunday after Easter. It commemorates the Holy Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the other followers of Jesus Christ while they were in Jerusalem, celebrating the Festival of Weeks, also called Shavuot. Jesus' apostles, as well as Jewish faithful from around the known world, were gathered in Jerusalem for this feast. In the Bible, this ancient celebration marks the wheat harvest, and according to rabbinical lore, it also commemorates the anniversary of the giving of the Torah by God to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. This harvest festival, this festival of first fruits, occurs the 50th day after Pesach, Passover, when the lamb was slaughtered to make a way for the liberation of the Hebrew people who had been held captive in Egypt for 400 years. And Pentecost occurs the 50th day after Christ's execution. Christ, the lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, as it says in Revelation. On that first Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the execution and 10 days after the resurrected Christ ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit descended and fell upon the people. This is considered the birth of the church. So happy birthday, church. We celebrate the body of Christ coming into being in the form of fellowship of believers on this day. As Mennonites, we spend much time on Jesus' teachings, some time on the parent God, and not too much time on the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that Mennonites are alone on this. So what do we know about the Holy Spirit? In the scriptures, we learn that the Spirit is a creative, life-giving force. The Spirit is the comforter or the advocate, and it is Christ's gift. The Spirit is also called the oil of joy that covers us, that saturates us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. And even in one place, Jesus breathes upon the apostles, and it's then when he breathes upon them that they receive the Holy Spirit. And according to classic confessions, the Holy Spirit is the third person of God. So we return to the Pentecostal story. The apostles are gathered together, and the Holy Spirit, sounding like a rushing, mighty wind, breaks into the space where they are gathered. And they're filled by this mighty force. And they begin to speak and understand different languages. The scripture says that people from regions far from Jerusalem, Parthians and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, all these people heard these apostles from Galilee speaking in each of their own languages. Galileans had a reputation as insurrectionists, but not as scribes or academic types. They were not highly educated. In fact, most of them were probably illiterate. So those gathered were surprised. They thought thought, and some actually expounded it, perhaps they were drunk on wine. And Peter corrects them, and he says, not at 9 a.m. Speaking in tongues, receiving gifts of the Holy Spirit can be disruptive if you're not accustomed to it. Some of you have surely been in churches, rightly named Pentecostal, where tongues is spoken. And while I've never heard a person speak a human language they have not learned, I've heard many speak what Paul calls the language of angels. Today and throughout history, tongues, or the other name for it, glossolalia, is an experience that can be found in cultures around the world and even religions beyond the scope of Christianity. It is an ecstatic experience that neuroscientists have discovered does not take place in the part of the brain responsible for language. A study done by the American Journal of Human Biology found that speaking in tongues was associated with both a reduction in cortisol and enhancements in a certain type of enzyme, two common factors of stress reduction. And it's also been known to increase confidence, or in religious terms, to strengthen faith. So where is tongues in our fellowship? Are we open to the Holy Spirit's movement in our life? We surely have a lot of education in our fellowship, PhDs and MDivs and all sorts of certifications and different types of degrees and technical skills and all sorts of knowledges. Well, clearly it doesn't relate or correlate to education. Neither does it plainly relate to wealth or gender or sexual orientation, race or ethnic identity, or maybe it does. So what keeps us from experiencing this type of filling of the Holy Spirit? This story relates to an even more ancient story. Some Bible scholars claim that Pentecost is a reversal or an overcoming of God's judgment at Babel. In Babel, all the people were gathered to create a structure that would reach heaven. At that time, the story goes, all people spoke the same language. They were supposedly one type of people. They were homogeneous. There was no diversity. They were the same. And in that sameness, a certain kind of arrogance arose among them, which often happens when you have people thinking all alike so often. And they sought to raise themselves to God's level. And God wasn't having it. Scripture says that God cursed them by confusing them with multiple languages so that they were scattered across the earth. At Pentecost, culture remains intact. Luke writes in Acts that each hears in their own language. It's not in one common language. It's not some universal language. Rather, each person hears in their native tongue. God meets us in our context. God meets us where we are with our cultural symbols and our languages where we are. So, returning to the earlier question, what about those of us who don't speak in tongues? We are in a church where tongues has been spoken. The scriptures do say that we should ask God for God's gifts. So perhaps Paul in his letter to the Corinthians might help us to understand. He writes, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, faith. To another, gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles, prophecy, discernment. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues." Speaking in tongues is a gift. It's not the only gift. God gives their children many gifts. And each of these gifts are to be received with joy. And there were many gifts given on Pentecost. We are to seek the gifts that God has given us. They're right within us. Pentecost 2021 is different than perhaps any Pentecost any of us have experienced. This is a real opportunity to lean into the change that is before us. In our personal life, in our communities, and in our city, and throughout the world. So we might ask, in what way will God's reign enter in? What will be our Pentecostal experience as we participate in remaking our world? What voices will be lifted up? In the Hebrew scriptures, God recreated the world with the flood and set the rainbow in the sky as a promise not to flood the world again. But that does not mean that God won't use other means to remake the world. In Peter's second letter, he prophesied fire next time. But it's not so much a destructive fire, but a regenerative fire that burns away the things that don't belong to make room for new life and for new growth. Pentecost is a time to renew our faith conviction. When our heart yearns for God, the Spirit manifests in our lives. God speaks through the prophet in Jeremiah 29. "Then I will be found of you when you seek me with all your heart." From where or from what is the Spirit calling you out from? To where is the Spirit calling you to go in this new season? Where is the Spirit calling us as a body in this season? How will you cultivate a heart of devotion so that you and our faith family are able to thrive in the days and weeks and months ahead? Amen.